Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Solving Crime live at the lovely Museum of Comedy. Yay! I think I know the answer to this question. Give us a cheer if you listen to the podcast. Yay! Wow, now don't let them intimidate you. Give us a cheer if you're new to us and you haven't listened to us yet. Oh, well, that much more subdued.
Welcome.
We're so glad you're here. So welcome, welcome. My name's Taylor and...
Lil, what have you been up to? That is Lil, that is my baby who is here tonight.
Might be a good introduction to Hannah George, new mother. She's a working mom.
Drunk enough to bring her baby to the gig. She's just like sat on the floor back. No, she's with my husband, it's fine. But you heckle me again, bitch. Get your tits out, and I will, to be honest. I will. I love you, my precious girl, if you're listening to this in 18 years' time. You are the most perfect baby in the world, and I love you. I always do have a worry that, like, your kids will listen to it. Like, you know, across the years, we've kind of...
I'm just looking at Katie, because I'm like, remember this phase when they can't understand what you're saying? So yeah. It's, like, funny to be like, cunt, and then just... And then now, like, my child can use the internet, and she's like... Yeah, so enjoy this is all I'm saying, because it goes so fast. The same country is going so fast.
She's going to leave.
Oh, she's being escorted from the premises.
Yeah, can somebody...
Oh. Oh.
Did you see that little DJ thing?
What if she understood me? I feel so bad now. Oh my God, what if I offended her?
I mean, she's very, very advanced, so she probably...
She really is. She's such a doll. And you're doing great. You look great. You're amazing, and we all knew you would be. Anyway, and please welcome our other detective, Katie Wilkins!
It's me! Hello! Thank you very much. Yeah, it's me.
I was just thinking, like, because you were talking about conspiracy theories at the start there.
Yes.
Hannah is quashing any conspiracy theories that she hasn't really had a baby. Like, proving, if anyone didn't believe that Hannah has had a baby, she definitely has had a baby.
Exactly, exactly. There's absolutely no way.
Cue the cry.
I love the idea that if I was going to, like, fake having a baby, that I'd have her crying rather than laughing at the back there. Because every time...
Sorry, I just noticed somebody taking a photo, and I always look like shit in the audience photos. Okay. Yes, it's you. It's you, and I love you, Sarah. I really do. You're like one of our greatest fans. Just remember how low down you are.
For the listeners, Sarah is stood up.
Here we go.
Excellent stuff.
I'm still going to hate that.
Yeah, that's Taylor's still like, part. Why isn't she taller?
No, I'm trying to get better. Like, give it the fuck up. Shall we bring on our guest? I think it's time.
Yeah.
Please, we're really excited to have her here. She's a fantastic comedian. Please welcome to the stage, Chantel Nash.
Chantel!
Chantel, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I know how you guys are. I was still outside the door. I could hear everything.
Yapping away. Well, you know, we always start the podcast with the same question, and that question is, have you ever been victim of a crime?
I have.
Okay. Really sad to hear that. But yeah. Great.
Has anyone ever said no?
Yes, but then she told a story, and we're like, that's a crime.
Yeah,
that's really bad.
It was quite horrible as well, wasn't
it? Really, really horrible. But yeah, anyway.
But yes, no, yeah. I have. So I used to have a car. I had an old Ford KA, and it was about 8 years ago. And so me and my partner just bought our house, and just about a month in, the car broke. Like, coolant issues, it's smoking. Car's finished. So
did you go into a garage and say that? They saw you come in.
It's like smoke finished. Yeah, the car's done. Car's finished. End of car.
That's the technical term.
End of car. So the car was done. So I'd parked it outside my house, and because obviously I just bought a house, so I didn't have any money to fix it. I was like, I'll get round to that at some point. And so about 3 months passed. We've just like moved in, and I came home from work one day, and my partner was like, did you notice anything different about the house?
And you thought he's finally put those fucking shelves up.
Oh, I mean, shelves are the least of it. But I was like, no, what are you on about? And he opened the like front room curtains. I was like, where is your car? I was like, oh no, where's it gone? And so, I called. I was like, oh my god, it's been stolen. It's like, but how? It doesn't run.
Yeah,
they have stolen the car.
Oh my god!
Some kind of like
somebody's towed it. Like, how have they done this?
Well, so I called the police. I was like, I think my car has been stolen. And they were like, okay. I just gave them the vehicle reg, and they called me back the next day, and were like, that car had been declared abandoned. And I was like, oh. I was like, do you know by who? And I was like, well, somebody on the road. We can't say who, but it's somebody on the road.
Oh. Wow.
So one of my dickhead neighbours had declared my car as abandoned. But at the same time, I called the council and I was like, this car had been declared abandoned. Has anyone come around to pick it up? And they're like, no, we were due to send somebody out, but nobody's gone yet. And I was like, the plot thickens. Where is this fucking car?
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
It's insane. And what it turned out to be was that because I hadn't declared it as sworn, so like when you don't MOT something or you don't declare it as off the road, you can't...
It's a statutory off-the-road notification.
She knows.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, cheer for the knowledge.
What a flex.
That stands for... No, it's a word, isn't it? It's not an acronym.
So yeah, because I had declared it as off the road proper, some junkyards go around looking for cars. That, I mean, they have some kind of...
It fell through the loophole and they could find it. Like,
yeah. Wow. So they have like a list of cars that aren't like driven or whatever. I imagine it's like a giant, what's it called, metal detector. they sweep it around.
They've just got a big bottle of coolant.
That's it. Like, a giant magnet run. And they just lift up the car and that's it.
Wow.
And they
You've got
it.
One more drive left in you, little guy.
But when the neighbour reported it, don't you have to get told?
That's what I thought, but apparently not. No. Wow. So maybe when the council ever made it out. Maybe they would have knocked on my door and be like, madam, is this car parked outside your house?
Yes.
Your car. To which I would have replied, yes.
Yeah.
And that would have been the end of it.
Oh,
but anyway, the car was in an impound lot in Romford. And I called them up. I was like, okay, this is the car. And they're like, yeah, you need to pay us a daily rate. If you want to come and get stuff out of your car, you've got to pay us a daily rate. You need, in order to get it out of there, I would have had to get it MOT'd and taxed. But you can't get the car MOT'd or taxed because it was like not running. And I was like, this feels like a lot of faff, Sharon.
This is like so, I'm going to just say Kafkaesque.
Yeah,
I don't know enough about him to to just be dropping that, but I've heard it referenced in this way.
Sounds Kafkaesque.
Exactly. And so I was like, how much would it cost for you to just keep it? And she's like, oh, we'll do that. We'll crush it for free. I was like, brilliant. Have
a
great
day. Oh, my
God. And so they crushed the car, and that was it. That's the end of my car.
Wow.
So was it a crime? I don't know. The crime was a petty neighbour.
We'll crush it for free is just a great line.
Yeah. So I guess, is it a crime?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
I think it's definitely the neighbour should be a crime. Yeah. We've talked about this before, where we need somebody between the police and your mum to sort stuff out.
Yes.
And like the closest we've come is like the Facebook group, right? Be like, all right, can someone do something about this? Who's done this? In that the spirit of that, it should also be a crime if you report your neighbour's car without even having a conversation. Like, that should be a crime.
Yeah, it's like a false accusation.
Yeah.
And a waste of valuable somebody's resources. I was going to say police resources, but they didn't do anything.
It's such a dick move.
Yeah.
Was it on a driveway or was it on the road?
No, it was on the road, just outside my house. So.
Yeah, but that's still dickish.
But especially for like listeners outside of the UK, the car, the K-A, car. Is one of the most adorable... unoffensive, a little baby car. You know, it's a little baby. So I don't understand why anybody would be bothered by it. Just to like a meep meep. You know, it's just
it's all
cute. Why
just
is
like
that bothering?
Opening her little, like looking through her window, going, I want to see that fucking car.
Is it
for free?
Actually, I have a question. Is it difficult to park on your street?
Yes, it was quite difficult to park on the street.
Right.
In truth. Okay, I'm the villain. Okay.
We always get to the bottom of it.
I'm only trying to get to the motivation of the dick.
Yeah.
It's like, are they a dick for sport?
Name of your sex tape. You walk straight into that.
You really did. Oh, that's one of the best.
That does make a lot of sense.
Because some people are just dicks, but now this is still a dick, but they're frustrated. Also that but it's still not okay what they did.
No. Just knock on the door.
And
if it was parked like round the corner, I'd be like, okay, cool. There's no line.
Right.
But it's directly outside
your
my house.
House, yeah.
Yeah.
You're allowed to park there.
Exactly. But anyway, so
well.
It's a crime. You tell me.
It is. We're all nodding.
I love a polite audience.
I just have We Crush Any Car. WeCrushAnyCar.com. Anytime, any place, any car.
Yeah. For free.
Well, we always ask, if you had the perpetrator here, what would you say to them or do to them? This is a tricky one. Because I don't know if you're like looking at yourself in a mirror. Or are you having a word with your neighbour? It's up to you, really. Who are you going to speak to?
I think I'd probably speak to my neighbours.
Yeah.
Get them all in a line, like Final Suspect. Yes.
Nice.
I just say to every single one of them, you sons of bitches. I don't know which one of you it was.
Oh, my God.
But each year, incrementally, one of you is not getting a Christmas card. And that will be my retribution.
Yes.
Petty retribution.
That's actually a beautiful answer. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. Round of applause for Chantal's story. Very, very nice. Okay. Well, we come to the part where we're ready to solve some true crime, aren't we? It's unusually bright in here, so I keep making like uncomfortable eye contact. I'm so sorry. I hate when I'm in an audience and somebody's like, especially you. I just keep zoning on you. I'm so sorry. Now I can't stop. Oh, there she is again. Okay. All right, guys. Strap in. Our case involves a married couple. Oh, wow. Do you know what? I've got new reading glasses, and I'm going to use them. Woo! Oh, my God, it's so much better. Oh, I have been, like, the last year of doing this show, I've just been struggling. And now I'm like, oh, I didn't have to suffer. There's technology now. Okay. Our case involves a married couple, Francis and Tony Toto. Yes. The names are always great. Tony Toto had emigrated from Italy to the United States when he was 14 and met Francis when they were both still teenagers living in the Bronx. Tony was immediately attracted to Francis's sweet nature and beauty, and Francis was attracted to the fact that getting married would mean she'd finally have a sense of self-worth and maybe even a shared bank account. I'm joking. Nobody asked her what she thought. Your first question, detectives, is what year do you think Francis and Tony got married?
Ooh.
Oh, years.
Okay.
So he's Italian. Tony Toto.
Yes.
Okay. I think I just, like, I thought that in my head and I was like, I just want to hear that out loud. And, so, like,
apologies to all of our Italian listeners.
Oh, well, didn't, like, maybe some, like, Italians went over to America, maybe just after the war, maybe? I'm feeling like...
Uh-huh.
I'm basing that on, like, I watched a thing about pizza in... that's really, like, yeah, that's terrible. I realised as soon as I said it, but, like, I watched it. It was about, like, the fact that... No, I didn't watch a thing about pizza. It was a case that you did the other day at my house.
Oh!
It was so lifelike. Yes, it was, but we did it in my flat in front of my TV, so you can see where I got confused. And that was about the fact that, like, there was quite a few Italian restaurants in, like, when Al Capone
been a
was
surge
around.
In immigration.
Yeah, sure, sure.
In the lead up to that.
1950s is that. I should have said that, couldn't I?
Okay. Do you want to land on a specific year just in case we have to play Price is Right?
54.
1954? Okay. What do you guys think?
I'm thinking when this is. I'm going to show my lack of history now. When was the Mayflower? Is that the boat?
But someone in the audience will know.
1680. Yeah,
guys, this is the first question, so we got to. We got to keep it moving.
But no. Let's go. War. I'm going to go 1949.
1949.
Yeah. I see. I think there was mass immigration at the turn of the 1900s. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go 1913.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Hannah, you are the closest.
We have to explain to Chantel why that date got...
No, we don't have time. 1966.
It's the Titanic. Hannah normally says that to everything. That's.
I mean, I normally say 1912.
Yeah, I don't know what you added a year.
Have I got the 1912? After all these years, have I got the date of the Titanic wrong?
Yeah, I thought you were being funny. Like,
yeah, I thought you were like, it's almost your favorite year. Okay, guys, Tony and Francis moved out of New York, had four children, and Tony launched a very popular business in their town, which they ran together. Your next question, what kind of business did they run?
Did you say it was the 60s in the end?
When they got married, okay, 1966.
Okay.
Yeah.
Successful. Yeah. Well, not to play into a stereotype here.
Why'd you look at me?
No.
I did do that now.
Was it some kind of delicatessen?
Okay. That's a perfectly
they
reasonable
make great
guess.
Sandwiches.
Perfectly reasonable guess.
Is it? Can you give us a clue? Is it food based?
It is.
Oh, you see.
I was going to go waste management like Tony Soprano and completely lean into the stereotype.
Toto's waste management. Not a bad guess. Not food, but not a bad guess.
And did you say New York?
They're not in New York anymore.
You just said America.
I will tell you where they are in a minute.
Okay. Well, I think it's a pizza parlor.
You're right.
Sometimes it pays to be the worst.
It was a pizza parlor called Tony's. So they lived...
Oh, gosh.
I know. It gets worse. It just really does. So they lived in Pennsylvania. Woohoo!
Go Steelers.
Go Steelers. Thank you very much. But they were in a place called Allentown. And if you don't know anything about Allentown, PA, it's kind of like... if Sheffield stopped taking its antidepressants. Ooh. I don't think anybody from Allentown would argue with that, honestly. Because it's part of what was called the Steel Belt when the U.S. steel business was booming, but everything tanked in the 70s and 80s, and it became known as the Rust Belt.
Ooh,
very okay. Niche burn, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, metal burns. But good news for them, people always need pizza. So the Totos were doing great business-wise. However, Tony and Francis, they hit a rough patch in their marriage in 1983. What went wrong?
Ooh. What happened in 83?
83. Well, it's like Reagan kind of times, right? 80s?
It is. It
Reaganomics.
Is. Yeah. Peak Reagan.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yep. I don't know.
Go on, sorry.
Was it? I'm thinking some kind of like penny stock. You put it all on some kind of cheap penny stock and then...
That's how stocks work.
That's exactly how they work.
I don't even know if that's bad or good. Like, did they?
And that's exactly how podcasts work. I've made a very, very visual motion there for this audio medium. I'm so sorry.
We do it all the time. It's fine. It's fine. What you reckon? Rough patch in the marriage. 1983. Oh.
Well, for a start, he cheated 100%.
Okay.
Might not be what they broke up about, okay. But he 100%
Another
did.
Stereotype. Wow. Okay.
They've been married for what, 15, 16 years or something now?
Maths is impossible. But yeah.
17 years? Goodness, I'm stalling.
The 17 year itch?
Was it the 17 year itch?
It's 13. No, fucking hell. I can't do maths.
866 to 83.
Do you know what I have to do math? I go 66 and then I go 76, 86, and then I have to subtract. So it's 17.
It's 17. I was right third time.
Thank you. So clumsy. I'm so sorry. So they hit a rough patch. What do you reckon?
It's a 17-year itch, yeah.
The 17-year itch?
Isn't that just gonorrhea?
If you don't treat it, for sure. Yeah. Hannah's right. Tony was cheating.
Oh, Tony!
She knows.
And I'm a man and I'm a pizza. What can I say?
And not just a couple times. Tony was cheating on her a lot.
Oh,
sometimes
Tony.
Arranging up to 3 dates in one evening.
What? Do you know what?
God, he does have gonorrhea.
Do you know what though? Like, part of me is like, he must like smell of pizza though. Like, I would definitely sleep with a guy for smelling of pizza.
The millennial aphrodisiac.
Yeah. It's one of the best smells in the world.
So good.
Even on a man.
Either learn the guitar or sell pizza.
She had been warned time and time again by her friends, ignored it for a long time, but Frances decided in 1983 she had had enough. In fact, she decided to kill him.
Okay.
I know. It escalates very, very quickly.
It took a hard left.
Your next question is, how did she try to kill him?
In the pizza.
In the pizza.
Come on, it's obvious. They're poison in the marinara.
Oh, I see. I was picturing him going head first. And just like slowly burning and drowning to death. Like, which is going to kick in first? It's a brutal death. Oh,
what a way to go.
No, I don't know why I did that accent either. What a brutal death. What even is that? Anyway, Hannah, how did she try to kill him?
Well, it depends whether or not, like I always think sometimes when people murder people, they either try and get away with it or they just don't. Do you know what I mean? Where you're just like, were you just going to...
Yeah, it's one extreme of the other.
So I reckon she's not stupid because she wants the money from the pizzeria would surely then be, what's her name?
Her name is Frances.
Frances. It would then be Frances's. Rather than like Tony's. Brilliant.
Very catchy.
Yes. So I think she makes it look like an accident. I think the best way to make it look like an accident is to maybe like she's had too many jacket potatoes and she was reversing her car, but it's over him rather than herself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So she's thought this through. Yeah. Yeah. Is your husband still in here? Because... Watch out.
No, we're getting a car soon.
That was good. No. Katie, what do you reckon? How'd she try to kill him?
So statistically, apparently women do choose poison the most. Mm-hmm. But we've had poison, so I'm going to go hitman. She hires a hitman.
You guys, these are all excellent guesses. None of you quite got it on this occasion, I'm sorry to say. But you're all stars. Frances tried to have a bomb wired into his car that was supposed to... When he started the ignition, but this didn't work because, women don't understand cars.
Hey, not in front of the door.
The wound is still open.
I'm so sorry. We're usually a bit more sensitive than that.
Because I was kind of close with car stuff. I'm not a real detective, guys. It's just...
No, you were. Sorry, you were the closest.
Was your answer car stuff?
Running
like how Ken does beach.
Hannah does car.
Car stuff.
So this didn't work, but Frances wasn't about to give up. No, no, no. She hired a low-level hitman to kill Tony one night. And your next question is, what was this low-level hitman's weapon of choice as I get my strings out of my crotch? There we go. Oh, did you get that in the picture?
I was half expecting that to be a tampon.
What's she doing? She's going to pull a string. What was the hitman's weapon of choice? What do you think?
Dagger.
Dagger. Nice. Ooh. Sexy.
If it's low-level hitman,
yeah.
I'm thinking like something you'd have around the house.
Okay.
Because yeah. It's a part-time job.
Yeah.
His heart's not in it. So a way to pick up some
it's
extra
a
cash.
Side hustle, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a baseball bat or some kind of like blunt instrument. Yeah. Oh, this will do.
And oh, that's a much better answer.
All right. Wait, also, don't you shit over your dagger.
I mean, it's still fine, but that's better.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But also, like, we're in America, right? So a gun could be lying around the house, right?
Yeah,
like,
you make a point.
I'm going to say gun.
That's fair, Hannah, that's fair. Chantal, you were correct. It was a baseball bat.
Nice!
Yes. We should not be clapping at that guy. This is so wrong.
It's very supportive.
But Tony fought off the hitman, got his baseball bat from him, and chased him away into the night.
Go on, Tony.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, second time unlucky, but third time's a charm.
Oh no.
Right?
Oh my goodness. I want that conversation when Tony gets home alive with Frances. So you will not believe what happened.
Frances is like face.
Oh. It's so weird because the car was playing up and then this guy with a baseball bat. Oh, it's so strange. I have no idea how that could have happened.
Just so unlucky, I guess.
Oh my gosh. So now Frances hires one of her daughter's friends. He's called Bruno. Seriously, at this point, like if you were writing this as a TV script, as you know, they'd be like, could we back off on the stereotypes a little bit? We're just like, Bruno shoots Tony and then they eat gabagool. Like it's just so over the top. But he was honestly called Bruno. And the plan was to shoot Tony in his sleep. They're not messing around now. Shoot Tony in his sleep. Your next question is, where on his body does Bruno shoot Tony?
Straight in the dick. Just pow! Right off the end.
That is correct, and it's known as the Frances method. No. Okay, so we've got dick.
Do you know what though? Like, I think that could be correct because, like, don't they'll shoot you in the mouth if you're a grass? Guys, I know about what gangsters do. And yeah, if you're a grass, they'll shoot you in the mouth.
Okay.
And things like that. So if you've cheated, then maybe the dick is the place, and it's what
I
her daughter's friend.
Yeah, daughter's friend.
Yeah. And I feel like if someone fucked around with my mate's mum, I'd be like, right, I'll shoot him in the dick.
Okay. Bruno goes for the dick.
I'm going to say shoulder. I don't know, like the way you're...
Shoulder.
I mean, like you said third time's the charm, so I feel like maybe this time he does die, so maybe the head. But I kind of want to say shoulder. I feel like maybe this is still a fuck up because it's presumably a teenager.
Katie, go with your gut.
Shoulder.
Go with your real gut.
Head?
Yes. He shoots him in the back of the head. The shot doesn't kill Tony.
Oh my God!
This is genuinely one of those, like, if it weren't true, you would never believe it, stories. It doesn't kill Tony, but it wakes him up.
What?
And when Frances comes to check on him, he says he's not feeling very well. His head really aches. Just so you know, they used it was their own gun, and it was a 25 caliber pistol, and they're like little baby guns. Like, they're like the caw of guns, actually. They're like really small.
But not a potato gun, right? It's a bullet.
It's a real gun. But, you know, there's a range of guns.
Okay.
We don't have to talk about that.
But it's from potato gun to AK-37.
Yeah.
That's the range.
Okay. It's a spectrum.
So Frances tells Tony that he has a headache because he's got the flu. He says, you've got the flu. I will go make you some chicken soup.
Is he not bleeding? No.
He's bleeding a little.
So has he noticed that he's bleeding?
He has no idea. Drunk women solving
crime. Welcome to Women Can Also Probably Do Stuff, the variety show which shows that women can maybe be just as good as men. Tonight's acts include Elaine Ahern playing the slide trombone, Sarah Warren performing her ventriloquist act with dummy sidekick Buncey, comedian Sarah Lewis, wow, a woman telling jokes, will wonders never cease, magician Jenna Lobb, and finally Phoebe Thurman, who's going to get shot out of a cannon. Now that sounds fun. Good luck to all the ladies. Thanks for your support, patrons. Check out patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime to see what you could get in return for supporting us.
Meanwhile, Bruno has lost his shit and he refuses to shoot this guy again because he seems kind of invincible. So he takes off, and Francis really does make Tony a batch of chicken soup. Your next question, what special ingredient does Francis add to the soup?
Oh my God. This is like Rasputin. This is mad.
Dad, that was on earlier, and I don't even know the dance, but I wanted to do it.
I read, or I heard on a podcast or whatever, that... Actually, I think I saw it on a TV show that Rasputin used to take a little bit of arsenic every day so that he wouldn't like die if anyone ever gave him arsenic, because he knew that loads of people were trying to kill him. So he was trying to build up his tolerance so that he wouldn't die.
It's like the Princess Bride. Remember? I've spent the last few years building up an immunity to iocane powder.
I do that, but like with Prosecco. That's how I'm getting back into
it. Never kill us with kava. You can't kill us with kava.
But isn't that weird? Because like when you asked us at the beginning, you said poisoning. I said car stuff. You know I did. Yeah. And you said a hitman. And all
you're
all
right. I know. Yes. And I just want to spoil it, but I knew it. Whoa. Well done, guys.
Oh my goodness.
She did it all.
Are we detectives?
I think. Yes. Are we detectives? Yeah.
Right. Women really can have it all.
Except all if your name is Francis.
So what's the secret ingredient in the chicken soup?
Is it arsenic?
Good guess.
Or is it like a dodgy mushroom? I'm thinking, like, have you, there's that film where the with the wife, with Daniel Day-Lewis, I've gone off on a tangent, I'm so sorry.
No.
Daniel Day-Lewis, he has a wife, and she basically, the premise of the film, spoiler alert, she poisons him with mushrooms in small doses.
Oh.
To keep him in check, and then that's the film.
Is it weird?
The Last Mohican?
Phantom Thread.
Phantom Thread, yeah. I'm not making that up, that's the premise of the film.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right? Okay.
I thought it was about trousers.
It starts off that way, and then mushroom poison by the end.
Yes,
she makes him really sick. So was it mushrooms?
Flashes of misery, just trying to keep him in bed or whatever.
And good guess too, because it's sort of, well, what do you have around?
In a pizzeria, many mushrooms.
But it's not surely not like button mushrooms. Like, oh, I'm so bloated, I might die. Like,
no, but maybe they had poisonous mushrooms growing outside of their house.
Yeah. Or, you know, salmonella. Maybe finish them off with some food poisoning.
I love how you say that like it's a mobster. Hey, I'm salmonella. He's coming. No, not really. What do you think, Helen?
I think arsenic feels very Victorian to me.
Yeah. Mm.
But I don't know
what modern poisons are.
What modern poisons are there?
1983.
Ooh, I'll say like rat poison.
Rat poison. Which is
a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes. Reaganomics and rat poison. She puts dozens of really strong sleeping pills, barbiturates, basically, which were so easy to get back then. It was a swinging time. So this is going to finish the job. So Tony by now is going in and out of consciousness. He's not dead yet. He still has a bullet in his head. And she just keeps telling him he's got the flu. This is a great example of woman on man gaslighting. Like, I think there's a bullet in my head. Shut up, you're just sick. It goes both ways. Now, sorry. Frances hires two cousins.
Oh, what?
They're cousins with each other.
Are they Luigi and Mario?
Oh, God.
To finish the job, and because this story just keeps on giving, their names rhyme. Oh. So your next question is, what are the rhyming names of the hitman cousins? Oh. Just have fun with it, guys.
Shooty and Tooty. I guess I'll become a hitman if my name's Shooty.
As I'm thinking, I've completely forgotten how to rhyme. I'm just like rhyming with
Frederick and Dave.
And then she was like, Pam and Claire. This is so much high pressure.
Boris and Morris. Or it's Phil and Bill.
Yeah. Very good. Do you want to
I can do it. You can rhyme.
You can rhyme. You can do better than Pam and Claire. I know you can.
Okay, they're Italian. I'm going to go... I nearly said Luigi and Floyd.
We're going to sit here until you can do it.
Rhyme. Rhyme, bitch, rhyme. Okay, I'm going...
Maybe inability to rhyme is like a thing.
It might be.
We've just discovered a new disorder.
This is it. I can't rhyme. I'm going to go for Stan and Dan.
Yay! She did it.
Thank you, guys.
You still said it like you weren't sure, though. You're like,
one has a sound. I can't do it. Anyway.
Nice, fun round, guys. It was Ronald and Donald. And you should know that Ronald and Donald weren't very bright. Just bear that in mind when these next things happen. The plan was for Ronald to shoot Tony in the heart using the same 25 caliber pistol that Bruno had used, because that worked so well. And Donald would stand by with a baseball bat in case Tony gave them any trouble.
Oh, God!
Everything comes full circle. But... as they stood over his body, neither Ronald nor Donald could remember which side of the body the heart was located on. And so your next question is, how did they remember which side the heart is on?
Did you just...
put your hand on your chest?
Yeah. Like, jogged on the spot and just went...
Okay.
I mean, they can't Google it because it's 1983.
True.
Why don't they just shoot both sides just in case?
Yes!
That would be smart. Or I imagine they probably went, something insane, they went out to like a pharmacy to look at a diagram written on like on a window, God, yeah, just to check, and then came back home.
We'll be right back.
That would be great. And they were like still holding the gun while they were like looking at the body.
Or is there like a little rhyme that we didn't know about? Sorry to bring that up again. Like your kidneys on the left and your liver's on the right. I mean, I'm just so dumb.
Do you know what? Both of your answers are the closest. And you as well, Chantel, because it was putting your hand on your heart. It's very American. They recited the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, of course.
But honestly, apparently, for some reason, they recited the entire thing.
What?
Over Tony's half-dead body. Because
that's
why not?
Somehow really apt for your country. I don't know why. Yeah.
Everything about this case is, isn't it? I'm proud of this case.
We're proud of this country as we're about to execute someone.
I know. So, you know, they did this, and Ronald's still fucked up.
Oh, God.
Missed the heart. This time, the bullet goes all the way through Tony's body, though.
Okay, that should do it.
Yep. Yeah. So we need to change to a reverent tone now. It's all the way through his body. Ronald and Donald head downstairs and they tell Frances that it's done. It's finally done. Your next question, what happens next?
But it's not finally done, is it? It's just gone through him again.
Yeah, he comes downstairs and is like, I really want some more soup.
Oh my God, yeah. He's just slowly bleeding out in a horrible way.
Mm. Okay. Any advance on slowly bleeding out in a horrible way?
Well, I kind of feel like, doesn't Francis... Like, if they've shot him in... I didn't realise this was in the house. I figured that this was somewhere, you know. House.
It's in his bed. So it's in their bed.
Whoa, because I almost feel like with Francis, you'd be a bit like, well, I guess I've got to call the police now because he's been shot in the bed.
Uh-huh.
So she can't claim that it's the food poisoning or something.
Exactly.
So does she, like, tell on Ronald and Donald?
No.
Okay.
But that's an excellent guess because that would be a lot more reasonable. Tony... drugged out of his mind and shot twice, walks downstairs.
No, I fancy him now.
Yeah. Oh my God. I know. Yes, exactly. Eventually you're like, you know what? Fair play.
Yeah.
Love this guy.
He could have been having 4 dates a night. And I don't care.
Yeah. He's also, like the Walking Dead.
Can see why maybe he was cheating. His wife's a homicidal maniac.
Maybe. And not a very good one. Yeah. So the cousins are still there and they're like, oh, it's done. And they're having a drink. And he just shows up and is like talking nonsense. He's just like, oh, blah, blah. And so Ronald and Donald freak out. They leave. Francis marches them back up to bed. You're still sick, honey. You're still sick. Just lie down. Finally, the police receive a tip-off, and that's because Ronald and Donald went off to the bars and bragged about their turn as hitmen. So, didn't take long. So the police discover Tony in bed with 2 gunshot wounds, slowly bleeding. He actually wakes up, and the police tell him, Tony, you've been shot. What's his response?
No, I haven't. I've just got the flu.
I mean, is he intelligible? Like, does he have a response?
Yes, they can understand what he's saying. Yeah. I know.
Also, like, we're forgetting the fact he had all those sleeping pills as well. Like, he's also awake through that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Do you know what? I'm just going to give it to Chantel because you were word perfect correct.
What?
Look, no, I haven't. I've just got the flu. Literally.
Oh, my God.
There's not going to be anything better than that.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, wow. No way.
Gaslighting 1, Tony none. So finally, Tony goes to the hospital.
Do you think this is how bad man flu actually is? I just realised we need to be more sympathetic. Oh, no.
Absolutely not.
No, thank you.
Tony finally goes to hospital. Everyone involved is arrested for the attempted murder. All the hitmen, Francis. There's a reason Tony survived the gunshot wounds. What was it?
Bulletproof vest.
I always sleep in mine. I don't know about you.
Oh, did somebody like... I was so mad, like somebody loaded the gun with something ridiculous, like not bullets, but like I don't know. I want to say rainbow drops, but not rainbow drops. Yeah. You know, I mean, something ridiculous,
something adorable.
Yeah, like even more incompetent.
Rainbow drops.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not real bullets.
Yeah. Not real bullets in the gun.
Fair enough.
Do you know what you've always got in a pair of pajamas? You've always got that little pocket there, haven't you?
Yeah.
And do you think it's a bit like he had something? It's like, you know, when people have like the Bible in their pocket and the bullet doesn't go through.
Right.
Did he have like his...
He had a metal coaster.
Yeah, or something like that. It was something in his pajama. I could just keep touching my dinner.
Yeah. These are all great guesses. You touched on it before, Hannah. It was the sleeping pills.
Oh.
The sleeping pills, she'd given him so many that it slowed down his metabolism and therefore the bleeding. So ironically, she had actually saved his life by trying to kill him.
No. Oh, that's amazing.
Tony finds out that Francis has tried to kill him 5 times. And why? But instead of being angry, he takes out a loan for $50,000, bails her out of jail, forgives her.
What?
And tries to beg the police to drop all charges.
Oh, my God.
Tony. Next question. Do they drop the charges of attempted murder?
No. The police are like, Tony, absolutely not.
But I really want. Okay, it's a very firm no.
It's a hard and aggressive no, Tony. Sit down. You're still high. Sit down, Tony.
Oh, my God. Go on. No, I wonder.
Female workplace. Yes, we have a female workplace t-shirt in the front.
Yay.
Do you check out our merch?
I didn't mean to point to my boobs.
Yes, you did. That's why we put the logo right there. No, thank you for representing.
Yay. I wonder if they did drop the charges. Because, I don't know, like, this now it's almost romantic. It's almost romantic.
It's almost romantic.
Tony, like, you know, she's got his attention. He's kind of, like, hot for her again. She's like, oh, she must love me. She tried to kill me 5 times. She was so mad at my cheating. I'm going to try and be a fantastic husband from this point on.
Not many people just go, like, salsa dancing or something. I kind of feel like you, I mean, I don't know much about the law. Surprising, I know. You can't, can you just say, oh, the person that I did it to says it's okay now, so there's no law has been broken? Sure, you can't, because you could be intimidating that person. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't feel like a good law.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It doesn't have to be the person. The police can also prosecute, and there's like right. the people right. versus.
Hannah, you do know the law. Of course you can't do that. Yeah. You can't just say, it's fine, I'm cool with it. No, everybody does time for the crime. Oh, yeah. Francis spends 4 years in prison. Oh, not bad. And the 3 guys who tried to kill him on Francis's orders do about the same amount of time, give or take. Now, this is your last question. What happens when Francis gets out of prison 4 years later?
Oh, does he kill her? Did he want her out so that he could kill her in his own terms?
This is what I'm thinking. That Tony's played the long game.
Yeah.
Oh, dark, dark ending.
Yeah.
Turn
of the screw.
No, I think they renewed their vows. Just like immediately, they went straight to Vegas. I don't know if you can renew vows in Vegas. Look it up. But
that'd be a funny place to renew vows. Next. So special, we wanted to do it again.
I think they get back together. Yeah, okay. Big time.
Oh, Hannah's all full of the love hormone.
Maybe she kills him. Maybe prison made her even more bitter.
6 times the charm. Yeah. Okay. Guys, this is really exciting because we have never done this on the podcast. I'm going to answer the question with a clip.
Ooh! Fuck! Earlier, you called your glasses technology.
I'm not operating it. This could all go very badly.
Wow.
It's an unusual gallery.
Everything you see here is a memory.
About a very unusual but happy couple.
It's a love story.
This year, Tony and Francis Toto will celebrate 57 years of marriage.
We've been blessed that we are together all these years. There was a one time when we had some rough time.
When Tony says they had a rough time, he's putting it mildly.
So you decided you were going to kill your husband.
Oh, yeah. What happened next was like something out of a movie.
It's the pizza man.
Hello, pizza man.
Hollywood thought so too, turning the Toto's troubles into a feature film called I Love You to Death. One night, Francis put a bottle of sleeping pills in Tony's food, and then the hitmen shot him.
Twice, one in the back of my head and one... And the bullet went right through the chest.
And the one in his head is still there. I don't think I was thinking straight. It was like a love-hate kind of a thing.
Tony spent 12 days in the hospital. The first thing he did when he was discharged was bail out Francis.
And then we both cry and we said to each other, you know, for now on, let's talk. Let's communicate better. Something that we should have done before. So that's what was missing.
Tony and Francis say that tearful moment was a new beginning for their relationship. And to help them stay on track, they got counseling.
Can I forgive you? Yes, nothing happened to me. Yes, that's okay. Don't do it again, Fran. Take it easy, yeah?
No.
They wanted to share their story now as an extreme example of the importance of communication in a marriage. Jackie Ferris, 69 News.
And it's 69 News. Like, come on. We can't do this with Victorian crimes. Sometimes we gotta go more recent. Francis and Tony were really happy with the portrayal. Has anybody seen I Love You to Death? Oh, watch
so
it.
One hand in the back.
I mean, it's your sister.
Oh, yeah. I was like, we had it on VHS, and we would watch it all the time. It's really good. Keanu Reeves plays one of the cousins.
What?
And they have rhyming names, but they've changed them. I'm trying to think what they are. But then when I researched this, I was like blown away by how much of it was true. Because I thought they had, yeah, so it's, oh, it's great. Kevin Klein, watch it. Tracy Ullman. Yes.
Really? Wow.
Yes. I only named the men because they can act. I couldn't think of her name. I almost said Uma Thurman. Don't say Uma Thurman, that's wrong. In a way, the film saved their marriage. They said 90% of the film is accurate, and they wind up getting flown all over the world to all these premieres promoting the film. They got a really good cut of the film as well, so they had a tidy little profit from it, and she doesn't speak much on there. That worries me.
Oh, my God.
We communicate now, and she's just like...
Francis is like...
I will leave you with Tony's marriage advice, because he's learned a couple of things along the way. Killing someone is not the answer.
Thank God he said that. I didn't realize until someone told me that.
It's not till you say it out loud.
Yeah.
Do anything but kill them. I was a very stubborn person, and I took everything for granted. My problem was I went out with a lot of women. It was wrong.
Oh, Tony.
Cheating doesn't pay. Guys, let's raise a glass to the Totos.
Cheers!
Cheers!
To murder cases with a happy ending.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, it is time to bring one of you up here. Is anyone feeling brave? Is
that a hand?
Oh, yes.
There, yeah.
Fantastic.
Come on down. Right,
come on down and give them a big round of applause. Hello. What's your name?
My name is Thaisa.
Hi, Thaisa. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
I've only met you tonight, but I did meet her because she's friends with my niece who is here. Yay! Thaisa, thank you so much for coming up. Tell us your story.
So I had a home break-in happen through my bedroom window whilst I wasn't home, and neither was my housemate. And we got home 2 minutes after the break-in happened.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
And for context, my bedroom is on the bottom floor.
Okay.
And one of my walls is entirely a sliding glass door that leads to the garden.
Okay.
And I still sleep in that bedroom. And I sometimes I like to partake in some recreational things. And I get scared that somebody is watching me. Because I'm like, tonight's the night where it's going to happen again. But the best part of the story was that by some miracle, they stole nothing from our house. And when I tell you that I had a MacBook, like a new MacBook, on my bed within plain view of the robbers, but it was covered by my sleep t-shirt. And so they didn't look at it. And it's the t-shirt that my best friend absolutely hates when I wear it to sleepovers, but it has it has superpowers.
Wow. Oh my gosh, that's a hot tip. Just cover your laptop with a shirt.
I do it every time I leave the house now, because I'm like, oh, today's gonna be the day.
But nothing was taken.
A couple of like pieces of jewelry were stolen from like way upstairs, but like they had all my drawers open. They like pulled shit out of my closet. It didn't look
so they went
any worse than what it looked like already. But yeah, so they ransacked, but like didn't get the TV. They got like a couple of earrings from my roommate.
When you say you got there 2 minutes after it happened, how do you know? Like, did you see them leaving? Or like,
my cousin had just gone home, and also I feel like it's important to note I was really drunk. I had just come back from like a Christmas party, and I like was stumbling home, and my cousin opens the door to me and goes, there's someone who's broken in.
Oh,
and they had just gotten back from a party as well, and I was so drunk I was like, that's not my issue to worry about right now.
Well, you'll get no judgment for that here.
Yeah.
Or your recreational things like racquetball.
Yeah. I have some in the garden.
I'm amazed you can still sleep in that room.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't be able to, but I mean, what else are you going
to
do?
Are you renting in London? You kind of just have to live.
I was going to say, I don't really have any alternatives. It's like, the other alternatives are like living with my parents in a city I don't like.
Ew. So gross.
Who wants to live in Portsmouth? Yuck.
Oh, absolutely.
No offense if anyone actually does like Portsmouth, but like, you know.
I love that. I'm going to slam Portsmouth and immediately apologize.
Any ideas who it was? We got to do some quick crime solving. Ooh. 1966.
Well, the fact that they weren't able to find your laptop under a t-shirt suggests they may have also been partaking in some kind of recreation.
Yeah.
Good point.
Mm. I love that they went through your chest of drawers, though, going, people hide things under clothes.
Yeah.
I guess they do.
Yeah. So had they smashed the window? How did they get in?
Yeah, they had completely smashed open my
door. So you had smashed
door.
On your screen sliding
door? This was like 2 years ago and I still find pieces of glass in my bedroom.
Oh,
my goodness.
Wow. Yeah.
Like a prison
And I
cell.
Couldn't sleep in my room for like two weeks until they came and fixed the door because it was just like they had like literally taped up my bedroom door.
Oh, man.
It was... Okay. That brings us to the end of our case. So, Chantal, we want to hear from you in just a second. But first, very quickly, is there a Martha here? Whose birthday it is? Is it your birthday today?
Yay! Happy birthday!
Just come up and get your card. You don't have to give a speech. It's fine.
Yes. You're right in the corner there. Sorry, Marv.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I could have just like frisbeed it. I was afraid I'd hit somebody. Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
I know, we're heroes. We're fucking heroes. I mean, we're amazing. Happy birthday. I'm so glad I got the date right because I couldn't remember where you had messaged and said, oh, I'm coming to this show. And like my brain, wow. But I've had it on my to-do list for months. Yay!
But we are all in on that. It's been on. I've got a to-do list and it was on it.
Everybody's in on it. Okay, Chantal, you've been a fantastic detective. Yay! I mean, I know the comedy's going well, but if you need like a side hustle, consider it. Tell us about yourself. Where can we find you? Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yes, I'd like to plug lots of things. So you can find me all over London, maybe in your bedroom. You can find me next week, Wednesday, at Prince of Peckham Pub, Best Medicine Comedy. Come along if you're south of the river. You'll see me there. And also, I have my own podcast coming out around the East as well. Oh, my God, I know, right?
Nice.
It's called Making Friends, and it's all about friendship.
Nice.
And I interview women from the worlds of politics and comedy and entertainment, all about female friendship and how hard it is to make friends as an adult hard it is to maintain friendships as an adult.
Yes.
So keep your ears and eyes peeled for that on your wherever you listen to all of your podcasts.
It's called Making Friends.
Making Friends. With Chantal Nash.
Do you have a launch date?
Not a launch date, no.
Not yet.
Keep Easter. Just circa Easter.
Circa Easter.
We
crush for free.
Yeah. That's it. That's me, basically.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, one more round of applause for this fantastic. Yay! There is, of course, another show after this one. A brand new episode, brand new guest. So go refill your glasses, and we'll see you back here in about 20 minutes. Yay!
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.